This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. Trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
102 here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. I know what day of the week it is because it's Monday. I don't have to look at my phone on Mondays most of the time.
You have to look at your phone on the other days?
Pretty much, yeah. Usually when we come in from the break, I have to grab my phone and click, okay, that's the day of the week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It all blends together for me.
Well, I mean, it blends together for me too, but I usually am pretty good about the day.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
And if I'm bad, I'm a day off.
Yeah, no,
I might be like, oh, it's Friday, it's Thursday.
Yeah, no, or I live in the ceaseless void, days that end in Y. They all blend together. That's Will Ortner. He's in for Jeff Ross. Dusty is out because I'm assuming he had a good time down in the huge Oregon spring game and some Ducks baseball. Doing his thing as that goes, but I think he'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Russ will be too. If not, we'll be here again. But with that said, let's get into the NFL draft because, boy, there are a lot of storylines. And as much as I don't want to talk about it, it is the number one storyline coming out of the NFL draft. Shedeur Sanders falling all the way down in what I don't even think it's close. The biggest slide in NFL history.
Yeah. Well, at least according to mock drafts, I think that you are going to see, and maybe you won't just because people are narcissistic, especially the mock draft people, good Lord, Mel Kiper. I think you are going to see kind of a similar media conversation like you did after the 2016 election. Like, think about not even in anything political, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, the whole idea of how sure everybody was.
And everyone was shocked at the outcome.
Even though the polls all indicated what was going to happen.
I think you're going to see the same thing here. Where,
I mean, we're already getting it from basically every NFL team. I mean, right. Daboll was pressed on it.
And he said it
after the first press conference. And he was like, oh, you know, our evaluation is our evaluation. He played it close to the vest. But if you read between the lines, he wasn't on our board.
Right. Well, it seems, again, like in the Daboll situation, he likes big, tall, strong quarterbacks. That's not Shedeur.
No, and we talked about
that's Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and we talked about this after the day one on the draft of, like, them going up and getting Jackson Dart told you that with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's, you know, jobs in the balance, who they were willing to hitch their wagon to.
Right.
And for all of the, they didn't draft him because he's loud and black and who his dad was. Please pull your head out of your ass. This is the NFL where people who have literally killed people have gotten other opportunities.
There's a person in that draft that was a first-round talent as an edge rusher that fell to the second round, I believe.
Mike Green. Marshall.
And it's because of what is surrounding him in his personal life.
And it was like, well, they colluded against him. This is the NFL. And they're not above collusion, but if they think a dude is going to help them win, they're just going to do it.
Right. Well,
if the talent meets a certain level, they're just going to do it.
100%. And I think McShay said it best. It's very clear that while some talent evaluators or mock draft experts, Mel Kiper, viewed Shedeur Sanders as a number one or number two QB in this draft, that NFL teams did not. And they viewed him as a second or a third round guy. Second and third round guys are not NFL starters, right? At least not right away.
No, you're looking
They might earn it, but not right away.
Or you're a team like Will Levis, where you're like, you're going to give a guy a chance.
Right.
See what he does.
You're in QB purgatory. Like, if Cleveland hadn't taken Shedeur and they just took Dylan Gabriel, and Dylan Gabriel got a start or two this year, it wouldn't shock me because that would mean that Joe Flacco looked horrific and Kenny Pickett looked horrific. But guess what? Dylan Gabriel wouldn't get a start until the very, very end. Dylan Gabriel was not brought into Cleveland to be a starter. But what Dylan Gabriel gets that Shedeur Sanders either doesn't get or didn't think he had to get but might now have to think about is Dylan Gabriel can be a backup because he can be quiet, right? He isn't going to be taking press conferences. And this isn't me saying that Shedeur Sanders needs to be quiet because Shedeur Sanders is his own person. He can do whatever he wants.
Cam Ward isn't quiet. That's my whole point. Is a very loud, quote-unquote, brash, I hate using that word, but not, he's not...
There's a circus with Shedeur.
Yes. But, I mean, Cam, like, everyone's like, oh, it's a cultural thing. Like, Cam Ward is out of pocket, like, does all kinds of, like, he is all about swag and chains and hip-hop culture and everything, like, all the things that white America, you know, rejects and all everything that comes along with that. So is Travis Hunter, and he went number two.
The easiest comp for me is Cam Newton. Cam Newton, there's always something going around with Cam Newton.
But the talent was overwhelming.
Right, and when it wasn't, Cam Newton wasn't a backup. Jay Cutler wasn't a backup. But you know who is pretty quiet, who was a starter and then became more after on? You know? Andy Dalton. Like, these guys exist. Nick Foles was a career backup forever. Chase Daniels had one hell of an NBA or NFL career.
Ooh, NBA career.
Probably not. I don't think he's very athletic. But he had a hell of an NFL career because he could be the backup quarterback. He could be the constant professional and show
Look
up.
Look at Deshaun Watson.
And we're not saying that Shedeur can't do that, but with Shedeur, there has always been a circus.
Well,
right?
Not only that, the whole idea of, like, we're going to dictate terms. And it was like, oh, it was okay when the Mannings did it. Yeah, because he was good enough. And for everybody who's under the age of 30 who thinks that that wasn't a circus, you're insane.
Yeah,
Deion. They got crushed for it.
Deion did this.
Yes.
It sounds to me like Shedeur Sanders looked at certain teams and said, hey, I'm going to
dictate terms.
I'm going to go into this interview and treat it the way it should be. And he looked at other spots and was like, hey, I'm not going to treat it the way it should be because I'm better than you. And unfortunately for him, like, he didn't have that skill set. You know who did the same thing this draft? Abdul Carter. But you know why Abdul Carter did it? Because Abdul Carter knew that he wasn't going to
the farthest he was going to go was three.
Like, worst case scenario for Abdul Carter, if someone did believe in Jackson Dart or believe in Shedeur Sanders as much as people might have been pointing you to believe a couple months ago, he goes fourth to New England. Like, he only had to interview with four teams. Mm-hmm. And Shedeur Sanders and Deion clearly viewed him in that same category. And it doesn't sound like they should have.
They did not have the right people around. If you want any indicator of how wrong Deion was about everything. Did you see Shedeur and Shiloh doing their live stream?
I saw Shiloh fired him.
Shiloh's representation was not official. It was Deion who was representing him. He's like, yeah, I think we may have gotten some bad advice. I think I might have to hire an agent. The literal next day he signed with Drew Rosenhaus, RSR Sports.
Yeah. Well, like Deion.
If that doesn't tell you everything.
Deion's coaching Colorado, man. Coach Colorado. If you want to be the representation for your sons, dude, that's awesome. Be the representation for your sons. Right now, you have too many irons in the fire. Like, you can't be the coach of Colorado and be the best agent possible for your kids. You're going to miss out somewhere in the middle. And probably you're going to miss out on both ends, right?
This was a situation of having too many yes men in the room. And not, And I wonder, and we said this during the process, Dion was doing an incredible job of keeping Shador in the light. And I think part of that was so that they could do this now, if he did fall. And now I don't think they expected him to fall to the fifth round.
I don't think anyone expected him to fall into the fifth round.
No. And for everybody's like, well, what about Tyler Shuck and Dylan Gabriel? And I'm like, I'm going to go back to my original point. They did not value Shador Sanders' production as good as those guys, and it came with the baggage.
I was going to say, because like they might view Shador as a better QB prospect mm-hmm. than those guys. Because to be honest with you, there are people who went ahead of Shador that I went, Shador's a better quarterback than them. But it's where they were.
It. You can say it. It's Dylan and Shuck. You can make the conversation for both of them.
I've never got the Shuck stuff.
Oh, people see big guy, big arm, and that's
big guy, big arm, and they only go, well, he's had limited injury issues, and that's what's limited him. It's like, dude, watch him against the blitz.
Also, look at his injury history. It's a mile long.
I mean, he's the last player in the 90s, born in the 90s, to get drafted. Right, like that's his whole thing. But when you look at Shador, where he was getting taken was he was going to be viewed as a backup who potentially, based on injuries or other factors,
maybe he flashes.
He might get a spot start or two and turn into something. Gardner Minshew was this.
Or he's Brock Osweiler.
Yes. Or he turns into nothing. And they looked at Shador and they said, that's a lot of circus that I'm going to have to deal with for someone who's going to be my 2 or my 3 QB going into the year. And I don't want to deal with that. And then he paid a price for how he apparently seemed to treat some of the organizations. I'd make the argument it might be an unfair price. He's not a fifth-round talent, but he also wasn't a first-round talent. And so it's meeting somewhere in the middle.
Well, unfortunately, something that didn't have anything to do with Shador Sanders ended up causing quite the kerfuffle over the weekend, as not only Shador Sanders, but Tyler Warren and a host of others have been getting hit with the fake prank call draft deal. And, well, one of them was stupid enough to record it and post it, and it's pretty easy to trace back where it went to. But we'll dive into that next and how just dumb all of it is. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Sometime about a year ago, we documented the Canadian national who had his car stolen, and he had like a sophisticated tracking system on it, like a upgraded LoJack, and was able to follow it all the way to Africa and chase it down and try. It took him forever to get it back, but after about 2 years, he's able to get it back. This one is a little bit like that. A 40-year-old man in England had his car stolen. It was a Honda Civic Type R, the right-hand drive version. A man named Ewan Valentine, he called it his midlife crisis car. He was 36 years old. And
that's not midlife.
I mean, in England it is, probably.
I'm not 10 years away from midlife.
You're getting there.
No.
It's going to creep up on you. You're going to be all of a sudden here like, holy crap.
Oh, no, I'm old. I've been up since 5:30, and I didn't set an alarm to be up at 5:30.
That sounds gross.
Dude, when you get up at 4:30 most days, waking up at 5:30 is a sleeping, unfortunately.
Why do you get up at 4:30?
Got to go to the gym, man.
Well, why at 4:30?
So then I guarantee I can go to the gym. Because sometimes I get called in, I have to do things.
Okay.
Also, then I don't have to deal with
people.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
And dealing with, like, these are the weights I'd like to use. I'm going to go use them now.
God, I do appreciate that. That's for sure.
Right.
However, this guy who said he was having a midlife crisis had his car stolen, and after about 6-7 months, he was like, you know what, I'm gonna try and get a new one. And he said, so I decided to start looking to replace the car. He called it. It was a bit of a midlife crisis car, and you don't get many of those. So I was looking for more or less the identical car, and one caught my eye. Was the identical color, make, model, even down to the custom exhaust. So it seemed perfect. He said the new Honda had a different plate on it. He went down to the garage to check it out. But I think my judgment was a little clouded by how desperate I was to replace my car, so I didn't do the most thorough check. But when I went to put a few things in the boot, trunk, I noticed a tent peg and some Christmas tree pines in there. He goes, I also shattered a bottle of beer about a year before and could quite never get rid of the smell. So I could smell the beer, and I noticed some wrappers in the central column that I was almost certain were mine. I started driving home feeling a little strange about the situation because it all could have been a coincidence. So I suddenly had the idea of checking the sat-nav history. Sure enough, there was my address, my parents' address, my partner's address, and places we'd visited the previous few years. It dawned on me that my phone connected instantly as I left the garage rather than needing it to pair to the new device. It was pretty clear at this point that it was my car. Contacted the police. The VIN number didn't match my original car, but there were indications that things had been tampered with. A chrome embossed VIN was missing by the engine bay. The VIN on the door frame was a sticker where you could see something was previously bolted. The engine serial number had been painted over. I also started to notice scratches and marks that were the same. So they plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to electronically verify that it is indeed his car.
Are you happy about it?
I mean,
do you get your money back?
So here's ultimately, they were able to confirm that it was indeed his car.
Which is good.
Yeah, you got your car back. I'm sure it's not in the same shape. It's probably a little bit more wear and tear.
Well, there's a new license plate, so it's a little different.
He goes, the police are now handing the car over to my insurance company, who will either get it road legal again in a position that can be insured on my original policy again, or pay out the car if that costs more than the car. It's more likely they'll unclone it and ultimately give it back to me because the VIN number is cloned. That's the dead giveaway.
So the people that sold it to him,
mm-hmm.
You got to be sweating in your boots, right? You got to instantly be going,
well, it goes,
hey, we're going to get in trouble for something big time.
Here's where it comes to the garage. We noticed a whole series of honesty while at the garage. The car came with invoices from the garage with staff names. The Honda technicians point out no one with those names had ever worked there, and the phone number on the invoice was wrong. So they spoofed the invoices, too. They also spot another invoice from a Honda specialist in the area. That same place had issued a statement a few days before warning people that they'd come across a few fake invoices in their name. So they were able to dupe this garage into buying this car because they were like, well, it seems like it's on the up and up.
So someone that's doing that works in the garage.
If not that garage, has experience in a garage.
Right.
Sure.
Someone who is stealing and selling all this stuff, they work in a garage or in that one specifically. I'd be having, like, now you have to go through all the other cars, don't you? Make sure that you don't have multiple stolen cars. Because if there's one, what are the odds you caught the one?
I mean, it's a theft ring.
Right.
Like, whoever sold them the car. Like, you're not ripping off cloning VINs and fabricating invoices without having, like, additional stuff behind this.
Right. And it's not your first move. This wasn't some high school kid.
Mm-hmm. So that's story number one. Story number two, which I said, the disgruntled employee. We're getting twofers in here today just because there's just that one, just like the likelihood of that is so crazy. It's like lightning striking the same place twice. This one comes to us from Disney and, of course, Florida. A disgruntled former Disney employee was sentenced to 3 years in prison for hacking into the menu creating system used by the park's restaurants to falsely say foods were safe from certain allergies when they were not.
What's the point of doing that?
40-year-old Michael Schurer pled guilty to several computer-related crimes after a contentious termination from the mouse in 2024 from his job as menu production manager at Walt Disney World.
What's his benefit? Like, people get sick or possibly die now?
And that what? That they wouldn't be able to check this and trace this back?
This guy's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So he's already spent 6 months in jail during the process, and so he'll serve 85% of his total sentence after this, according to his attorney. He's very remorseful and apologized to the victims during the hearing. He's eager to get back home to his wife and 3 young daughters. He's the sole earner for his family, has medical issues, blah, 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 blah,
they
blah,
won't
sob
be there.
Story. Yeah,
they no. won't be there. When you get out, they won't be there if you're the sole earner, bud.
The government argued that he should be sentenced to the full 70 months, which was available. And instead, he got the, 36?
Sometimes there are crimes that happen.
You could get somebody killed. Like, peanut allergies. Like, I'll just put this out there.
Tree nuts.
My sister has a macadamia nut allergy that will kill her.
Yeah.
We found this out. Luckily enough, had an EpiPen in the car. It was a white chocolate chip macadamia nut cookie, and I would say she was 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
Her throat swelled up to the point where she could not breathe.
Wow.
Within a minute.
Right.
Like, if you get this stuff wrong, someone can die.
Literally. And yes. From multiple different things, seafood, shellfish, you know.
The nuts is the one. Is
tree
like,
nuts.
Like, that's the one that can, like, get you. Like, an asphyxiation.
Right.
Can get you quite quickly, depending on the severity of the allergy. Shellfish usually get the
You swell the up hitch, big. Gotcha.
The swollen face kind of deal.
But, like the prank. Let's go back to the prank calls.
Yes. That's why I wanted to bring this in here. This is an actually, like, toxic thing that's damaging.
Exactly. Because, like, as dumb as the prank calls were, and they were dumb.
They were.
Your harm is that, like, you made someone feel bad. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lame thing to do, and it's a dumb thing to do, and you shouldn't do it. But you made someone feel bad.
And you're 19, and you're a dumb kid. This is a 40-year-old man.
This murder, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, manslaughter. Somebody could die from this.
He's lucky someone didn't die.
Yeah.
He is lucky, because it would not be 36 months.
Think about the number of people
months.
Who go through the Disney World every day and eat there.
And how many of them have some kind of allergy that, like, literally could have killed them.
This is like, again, this is the dumbest. And for what? Disney was going to get sued? You don't think that the lawyers weren't going to dig into every log everywhere?
Yeah, what was your win?
I like.
What was your, like, I got him?
This sounds like the dumbest smart guy that's ever existed.
Doesn't sound smart to me at all. Even I know that. Why do you think I didn't Google Girls Gone Wild Dirty on my computers here?
Coward.
Well, yes, but also, I'd like to still have this job.
Fair enough. All right, coming up next, we're going to pivot back to the NFL draft as there's a little bit of news coming out. Not necessarily news. I just find this one interesting. Brandon Bean, the general manager for the Buffalo Bills, went on local radio and kind of read him the riot act. And I think this pairs nicely with what Adam Silver was talking about and how you talk about the game and how the reactionary stuff and just always complaining about everything. Maybe just go full Aaron Rodgers here and relax. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, we're certainly going to spend time talking about draft grades and the things that come out of them. I think it's an interesting topic when you talk about the immediate blow up or praise of a pick, unless you're talking about, like, truly transcendent talents where you're just like, look, I'll use myself in this. I still very much believe in Caleb Williams, and not just because he was at USC, but because I watched him play live multiple times, and, like, the way he plays the game feels special. And you can see that in guys, whether it's the NFL or the NBA, like, I'll say it with Cooper Flagg. I will be shocked, and this is outside of Victor Wembanyama and probably LeBron James, I will be shocked if he doesn't make an All-NBA team in his career. Like, that will somehow be a disappointment because, of, again, seeing those guys up close, not LeBron, but seeing Wemby and Flagg up close and personal before they ever played a second in the NBA, you just see something so different. But in the NFL, because things are so much more diverse, the impact of a singular player outside of the quarterback position can be skewed, I think, and you get into these draft grades that can be reactionary of, like, you know, you build up this thing, whether it's, you know, Shedeur Sanders. I think part of the reason why the reaction is so much is because I think so many people in the draft community were afraid to push Shedeur Sanders down simply because they were afraid of the repercussions that came along with that, and that's Deion Sanders calling you an idiot. You've never played a day in the NFL. What do you know? Da, da, da. Look, there's a lot. I am very much a believer in listen to what players say. And it's not exclusively, because there are players in both the NBA and the NFL. When I hear them talk about things, I go, I am now dumber for having heard you speak on this. Because just because you play a game doesn't mean you're great at looking at it, at analyzing it, or making decisions. Otherwise, these legends of the game, like Michael Jordan as an owner, they would do better in those positions because it's a different thing. But I really appreciate Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who hopped on the radio in Buffalo and basically said, hey, guys, you know, maybe simmer down a little bit.
Just in the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very, how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just scored. Hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
I mean, Bean's kind of spitting there, if I'm being honest, because it's about the results. And again, the audio is courtesy of WGR 550 in Buffalo, our sister station in Buffalo. And it's funny because much like us here, they have the YouTube clip. And I can see the looks on their faces of like, yeah, I guess. Josh Allen worked out a little bit better than Josh Rosen, huh, didn't it? Like,
say it with your chest, man. And I can appreciate that. But it's also why the mock draft grades, the immediate aftermath of like, that was a good pick, that was a bad pick, is stupid.
To me, it's about process. That's the thing when you talk about process, not the immediate result. And that's what we're going to do here. And when we get into hour number three, we're going to go back into the NFL draft and talk about some of these grades and like where these sliding kind of views kind of come from. Because I think it is important to talk about process. Like one of those teams being the Baltimore Ravens, who seemingly have great defensive players falling in their lap over and over and over again. Why does that matter?
Seattle's clear process that they had in this draft. When you look at who they took, it's very clear what they're doing.
Yes.
They are going for the best athletes in the positions that they need, and they're trusting that they will turn them into future NFL stars. Not just starters, stars. But I always go back to the immediate aftermath of the mock draft. Mel Kiper, who won, who lost, who gets an A grade, who doesn't. It's all based on where Mel Kiper had people slotted and how you took them.
Yes.
Cleveland Browns, they got an A-plus from Mel. I think it's pretty fair to say.
Because he had Shedeur Sanders, who was a fifth-round pick, the 144th pick in the draft.
He was his number one QB. You know, like, go look at, it's. I think, if I remember right, it's Bleacher Report's Seattle Seahawks 2012 NFL draft
got
review.
Absolutely murdered. Called it the worst draft in the league because
they took Bruce Irving one who ended up being a stalwart on that championship. Bobby Wagner two and Russell Wilson three.
A quarterback who doesn't do anything that they like to do because they had just gotten out of the Hasselbeck Sean Alexander era.
Right.
Where they're whipping it around the field, playing offense like crazy. Well, yeah, you have a new head coach. Remember that was Pete
they said
first,
Pete would be. They said
didn't know
Pete
what he was doing in the NFL.
They said he would end up, if I remember correctly, they said this is why he'd end up being fired. Because that was year three of Pete.
Yes.
I think that's his second draft, but that's going into year three. Because he had that Hasselbeck crew.
Yeah.
And they made the trade for Marshawn. They have the Beastquake. They win a playoff game. Then the next year, they don't make the playoffs. It's clear they're in transition.
They make the trade for Flynn going into the draft.
Right. They had like Tavares Jackson or somebody starting. And they trade for Sidney Rice. So they start making a bunch of big moves. That's when the draft before would have been when they had Okung and Earl Thomas. I believe Cam Chancellor's a part of that one. Sherman's a part of one of these drafts.
And then Browner's 2013 or 14.
And like, they signed him out of Canada.
Yeah.
Like they went out and just grabbed him from like Winnipeg.
Yeah, the moves
whatever.
That they made over a 3-year period, pretty damn good.
And they got ripped apart for them. And I remember reading those drafts in high school being like, man, this is a bummer. My Seahawks are going down the wrong path. And it was the best time frame and with the best players in Seahawk history.
Yes.
There's never been a 5-year run better than that for Seattle. And it's largely because of those people.
You literally got Hall of Famers out of it.
Yes.
Bobby Wagner is going to be a Hall of Famer. Richard Sherman is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Russell Wilson might be. He's not going to be first ballot, but he's going to be right around that line of demarcation.
What's going to be interesting is what happens with Chancellor and Thomas because of other stuff.
Well, Chancellor would be injury too early.
Yes.
Earl Thomas, if you're not accounting for off-the-field factors, there's no reason why he shouldn't be. And I think that people are starting...
I think it might hold him back.
See, I was going to say, I think people are starting to forget about it.
Yeah, well...
Give it time. It'll
resurface. But you do have, like, legitimately yes. two first-ballot Hall of Famers in Sherman and Bobby Wagner.
Easily. Easily. No question about it. And Marshawn's probably going to get
in Marshawn.
As well.
Yeah, like, it's... Again... The whole idea of, like, this is the end-all, be-all. Like, I have sat here and I have sang the Raiders' praises because they are doing the thing that I have wanted them to do. This is very similar to when Joe Cronin took over for the Trailblazers of, like, doing the thing that, selfishly, I want to see done. Trading back, getting value, you know, taking the best player available. Like, but I'm spoiling it here. We'll dive into that all coming up next year in hour number two. NFL draft grades, why they don't matter, and why using them as a point of discourse for process matters for organizational decisions. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.